Police say a Latham man was driving drunk and fell asleep at the wheel in the Taco Bell drive-thru. James Brown was arrested in Malta back on July 25th. Police tell us a passerby called 911 when they saw him sleeping. Troopers say Brown failed field sobriety tests and had a BAC of 0.16.
I'm not sure how SoundCloud works. I don't know what they do or how they make money or why they're here. But, you know, a month or two ago, everybody thought the SoundCloud sky was falling. They were just, whoops, suddenly out of money and just about to pull the plug. And I think the announcement was that brief, literally that brief. Like, we're not going to be here tomorrow. And suddenly all the SoundCloud rappers like me, these are all my raps. I just consistently forget to overlay the beats when I'm done. But all the SoundCloud rappers and vaporwave mixers who apparently don't have hard drives were just up in arms about all the cool Walgreens samples they're going to lose. And, you know, that would include all 15 canon episodes plus the bonus episodes, the negative episodes of Border Boss. Fortunately, whatever Y2K shit people had in mind, none of it happened. But, you know, you can't unring a bell like that. So it still might happen. And I suggest that if you want Border Boss to keep existing, you got to get over to that Patreon and start clicking on dollars. Just keep clicking. Keep clicking until there's a comma. I don't even exist without some commas in that number. I keep looking back and forth between myself and the number, myself and the number, just to see if I'm fading away. But I'm still here for now. One of the nice things about being hosted on SoundCloud is that they tell me how many times an episode has been played. I'm sure I could use some kind of analytics to figure this out myself with a different host. But, you know, I like it to be cute and like a little icon. So I think the number is phony anyway. I don't know if it's phony good or phony bad. So let's just land on not at all phony and totally real. And guess what? The number is still pathetic. It's totally pathetic. But it's meaningful to me because I don't do much promotion. You know, I offer very limited guidance. There's no Star of Bethlehem or internet influencer to get you here. So that means you just found me on accident, which I think is just beautiful and erotic. But, you know, unless my better friends are just sitting around clicking play to get my numbers up and keep me off the ledge for another week, I know exactly how many of you are out there. I can see you, which means that I can say with mathematical sincerity that Border Boss is back by popular demand. A sincerely non-trivial portion of my listening audience has personally requested that we continue this work together. So by your powers combined, here we are. Border Boss, episode 16 is here to stay. So, you know, I've been out of the game for a while. What's been going on? What's been happening with you? You know, time's all messed up when you begin the hard, honest labor of shepherding a new brain into sentience. And, you know, from your perspective, I've been gone for years. But to me, it's been the blink of an eye. You know, like, I just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, episode 15 just happened. Just yesterday. Which I know is not true. But I figured I'd ease my way onto the comeback trail with some good vibes, some real good vibes, and dish out some genuine recommendations. There's not going to be any fart samples or horns or punchlines. This isn't a trick. These are just things that are online, not at all Taco Bell related, that I think you should check out for one reason or another. And we'll start with Instagram. Have you seen that Instagram? It's been around for a few minutes now, but I just started using it. So through Instagram and my friend Mike, I found my favorite account, which is Fry Up Police. Fry Up Police. Fry Up Police, all one word. I think a fry up is some kind of cute British way of saying, could you serve me a quivering dump truck hubcap filled with blood sausage and beans and eggs? And it's gorgeous. I think the owner of the account has an actual eye for this stuff and is being critical. Maybe he's being negative. So I don't think I'm getting the joke, but all I see is delicious food. You know, to me it looks great and slimy and overwhelming, and it's basically how my morning begins. I put some vegetables in there. I know the Brits don't get down with greens. Otherwise, my breakfast looks just like fry-up police every single day. My breakfast is like when the snake discovers the nest on reel 4 of the film strip, and the eggs just begin like bloop, 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 disappearing up into that snake. Eggs, 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 from 7 a.m. till I'm sore. Aching, bloated, sore. That's how I welcome the sun every day of my life. And on that note, I suggest you check out Border Boss RIP on Instagram. Find me out there, you know? It's very specific. Might not be what you're expecting. I don't think I've actually posted one single burrito yet, but you know someone who knows me. Like, if you found this episode, then you know someone who knows me. So just start clicking on shit until you find me, and we can finally join together as God intended. Speaking of me, I suggest you find the All Kill Cast. A-L-L-K-I-L-L. I forgot to ask them why it was named that while I was there. But anyway, two lonely young lovers. They're shivering out there in the cold, cold desert on this bleak mission to make Americans listen to Korean pop music. It's a weird niche interest, zero traction. It's not going anywhere. They have no hope of making Americans ever enjoy the complicated, otherworldly sounds of Korean pop music. But they keep at it anyway. They just lure us in one or two at a time and make their case over a rickety Skype connection powered by a makeshift solar still. And on the last episode, they were lucky enough to snare the whole cast of Como Se Hacen. That's right, both me and my friend Sarah were ensorcelled by the Sphinx mysteries of Wonder Girls and Brown Eyes Girls and Girls Generation and Cosmo Girls and Wonder Girls again. And it didn't completely land for me. First of all, Skype group calls make me tense. They usually mean discussions of conversion rates and return on ad spend, and my throat just seizes up like I'm at work for the day. But let's get into something a little bit more petty, and I'll try to come up with a conclusion to this that feels novel, because I know the sentiment I'm about to express is disgusting. I know it's disgusting, okay? So give me some room. Give me some rope to hang myself with. But I was an actual dork growing up. The real deal. I collected dragons. Well before death metal gave me like a dodge to turn my dragon hungry eyes into something that at least appeared to be a little bit badass on paper. But believe me, I found anime, man. I found anime. It took me a minute, but I got there, and I found J-pop and all that stuff. And being an anime fan in the 90s, especially if you lived in the bland, you know, mall encrusted suburbs, meant that to get your fix, you either had to know things and know how to use the mail, which I didn't know things, and I didn't know how to use the mail, or you went to Media Play and spent $40 on a single VHS tape with 2 half-hour episodes of like Gunbuster or 1 45-minute OVA of 3x3 Eyes. And, you know, it was like searching a dollar bin record shop where you have to flip past 200 Dan Fogelberg records, except the Dan Fogelberg was Wicked City. And, you know, don't even get me started on J-pop. That was way worse. You had to drive to New York City and actually speak Japanese or have a friend in Japan, real-ass Japan, who would have to send you a tape through the mail in 1993 postage, which was like n-dimensional geometry. And none of this was better. This isn't like things were better back then. Obviously, everything I said was terrible. It's not better. But the point is that it was digestible. Every quest had an endpoint, and you were either satisfied or you were unsatisfied, but you were eating that mouthful. You were going to have to watch that tape, that $40 tape, a bunch of times, and you were going to internalize it and remember it. So, like right now in 2017, if I took the same amount of time, if I sat down with whatever the equivalent of an album is right now, a bunch of YouTube videos of Ladies Code, and I devoted the same amount of time that it would have taken me to get like a single Urusei Yatsura tape in 1993, I'd be lost. I'd be totally lost in a vortex of just so much entertainment and information, I could never even watch it all in one lifetime, let alone digest it and internalize it. You know, and I know that's just how stuff goes these days. You're just supposed to click the heart and move on, or just live in the miasma of sound and vision with acceptance, just enjoying that blurry siege of content, or, you know, accepting it, just accepting it. And none of this is the All Kill Cast's fault. It's not their fault that I'm too old to pursue ordinary pop music from another country as a passion. But you know, it's too big of a topic for me to find, you know, the Master of Puppets or the Silk Degrees or the Telecon of K-pop as entry points to expand my mind. It's just too late. So anyway, these two K-pop evangelicals made us a playlist of like 400 songs, and we talked about every single one of them. Okay? So you're going to get your money's worth. You're going to get a good, satisfying chunk of I guess we'll call it Border Boss content. I think it's not bad, but, you know, it's 3 hours. 3 hours. And in the end, I liked, you know, four or five of the songs, but one of them reminded me of the Jets song from the 80s, Crush on You. And my soft, aging brain just hyperlinked over to that and replaced all prior learning. So all the stuff that they played for me, the music is gone. It's all gone. All I think about is the Jets. So anyway, check out the All Kill Cast last two episodes, because they split it up because it was 3 hours. And let me know how you like hearing me struggle to discuss chords with the acutely unwilling. So my final recommendation, also a podcast. If you're within 10 years of my age and you've ever Googled anything from your youth, especially something a little bit obscure or gross, like Gusher's Candy or Boglins or some specific Alf toy, or like a terrible PSA that played nonstop in the year 1991, then you have encountered, in one way or another, the site X Entertainment. You may not even have known. You may have just looked at a Google image, but you've probably encountered this site. And this guy was ordering, you know, 15-year-old Crystal Pepsi cases and expired Droid cereal boxes off of eBay and ingesting them way before there was a YouTube to turn that foodborne pathogen into solid gold. You know, there was just no outlet for him other than his blog, but he generated content at a frantic pace for years and years, and then went through some crisis and then switched it over to something called Dinosaur Dracula. And he still amasses cheap dollar store Jason masks and cardboard cutouts of Doink the Clown. And now I want you to forget all the words I just said, all the details I just said. That was just backdrop. But I want you to listen to the Purple Stuff podcast. If the things I'm talking about appeal to you, check out the Purple Stuff podcast. Because somehow this guy, who is just living in that era, managed to find a giggling buddy who's just as hopelessly steeped in those years, 1982 to 1994, something like that. And together they're just stuck like roaches in a roach motel. And these guys are so far down that gravity well that it's almost like they're still living in that era. They still get in cars together and drive around looking for garbage pail kids and novelty Kool-Aid flavors, and they find them. And like that depth allows them to continually surprise me with some hazy facts about like the show Unsolved Mysteries, or they'll bring up some 976 number that let you speak with real snorks. And, you know, it's tough to find new nostalgia buzzes these days, even though you can find everything and anything. And people just keep coming up with new articles and new oral histories of things that you haven't even thought about in a while. It's still a little tough to find new nostalgia buzzes, so I take them where I can get them. And it also made me realize I don't know a goddamn thing about the Macho Man Randy Savage. Not one thing. I know the basics. I watched and enjoyed his ring prowess as a boy, of course, and Miss Elizabeth, but I don't know the first thing about his life beyond the character. I don't know if he pulled that frizzy hair back into a neat ponytail, or if that was just fake and that hair just came off completely. Did the Macho Man and Baby Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth go out to the Sizzler for just like a normal ass meal? I don't know any of this stuff. This is an era where it's almost impossible to run out of unique Tumblr and Pinterest images of stuff that you are into. People just keep unearthing new photos and new YouTube clips and filling in all the gaps. of any celebrity or any person you can name. But I just never looked at any of the stuff, and I don't know the first thing about Macho Man Randy Savage. So I think I got the rest of my month covered. I think I know what I'm going to be doing. Anyway, if you don't like nostalgia and expired candy and living in the past, then maybe go fuck yourself for the next 10 or 15 minutes, because I'm staying right there. I'm soaking right in the world of several months ago, and nothing you can do is going to change that other than, you know, plus 15ing until your joints are dust. But at least I'm going to finally get to the point. I knew I needed to get my head back in the game, the Border Boss game. So I've been running for the border a little more often than usual, and even just ordering straight up number meals. Is that weird for anybody else? Because I don't really ever do that. I don't really get the urge to have my personal stepping out pleasures all planned according to the pathways of the lowest common denominator. That's not really how I've ever done it. I always want to pick and choose every item and, you know, have a custom sensation. But I spent some quality time just getting to know what it's like to have a plain old burrito supreme and a taco with no modifications, just as a little warm up to get back in shape, you know, because I've really, really flabbed up while I was pregnant. Anyway, during that time, we gained and lost another simple but dynamite idea, the beefy potato burrito. You might not even have noticed this thing came and went because it was definitely one of the in-betweener experiences. But man, I don't know if it was the chipotle sauce or the fact that I just rarely eat the Taco Bell potatoes, but the beefy potato burrito that they put out for a little while, which is already gone, was a warm blanket for your inside guts. It was just this totally satisfying, gooey morsel, and I'm glad that I managed to pour like 4 or 5 of them into my husky silo before they moved on to the Live Mas app in the sky. And we also lost the naked chicken chips. Who cares? Big whoop. But that means we also lost the Chick Star. And I waited way too long to try one. I only ended up cracking into one of them. And that's a shame because the Chick Star falls into a niche that I'm very passionate about, which is items that are not the McChicken, but which taste like a McChicken. Once upon a time, I went to visit a friend down in New Paltz. And this is ages ago, college age. We ate at a sushi place that's still down there called Hokkaido. And they served a roll called the Phoenix, and I think it's still on the menu. The Phoenix was fried chicken, lettuce, and mayo in a sushi roll. And that has to be intentional, right? It was a dead ringer for the McChicken. I passed around these valuable rolls to other people. You know, sometimes it takes forever to get sushi. Some places, you know, there's some places where the little boats are floating by and you can just keep eating. And some places the order seems to take forever. So once you get something you like, passing it around and you only get 6 pieces, that's a gamble. But I passed them around, I shared them, and everybody was amazed. Because you can't really simulate fast food in your house. There's a lot of those Facebook videos where someone has perfectly portioned out, ready to go ramekins that they dump in time-lapse photography, where they tell you that you can simulate the Big Mac in your house, but you know you can't. You can get close, but there's just something about steaming 40 pounds of food in a giant boil-in bag or frying 10 kinds of everything in the same grease vat all day long that imparts a set of flavors you're never gonna fully replicate in your Le Creuset at home. So when these sushi people actually lit up all those exact same synapses in my brain, I was taken away on a magic carpet ride. Chick Star creates nearly the same Christmas tree in your mind. Just for one white-hot fleeting moment, you could spend $4 to simulate the flavor of still readily available 99-cent sandwiches. And isn't that the true meaning of luxury? Spending too much and getting too little? And another luxury is smoking. I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I probably won't smoke for a while. But that's why I farm out this segment to an expert. And I'm not ashamed to do so. But you should be ashamed. You should definitely be ashamed. Because this could have been your podcast. The next 5 to 8 minutes could have been you. Because I hear about how Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden will reroute the Iron Maiden jumbo jet to save people from a flood. Or how Steve Buscemi put on his fireman suit and saved people during 9/11. Or how Matthew McConaughey still shows up for his Uber shift, even though he's a quadrillionaire. That's the service Mike provides with cigarette news. His podcast, Virtual Pros, has been picked up by the big leagues. He's selling shirts left and right. They're having meetups. You know, they're not, I don't know if they're actually making enough for them each to get a Bugatti right now, but they're definitely making enough for those fantasy weekend Lamborghini rental owners. Yet he still honors the covenant, the commitment he's made to provide cigarette news to any willing podcast free of charge is still on the books. So what's wrong with you people? Are you grossed out because cigarettes are kind of gross? So am I. But I just close my eyes, clench my jaw, and let it happen.
If you don't smoke cigarettes, then you a fucking nerd. And whenever nerds talk, I don't hear a fucking word. Light a cool, light a merry, crack a Newport box. I'll even bum a GPC if those are all the fuck you got.
Hello, everybody. This is Mike, Mike of Cigarette News. That's what you're listening to right now. I thank you all for tuning in, even though you're forced to tune this in because it's a part of Border Boss, and you're just stuck listening to this or fast forwarding. You do whatever. I don't really care. Thank you, Border Boss, once again for this time slot on your old podcast. So today on Cigarette News, I have a few things to discuss. Not really. I just have one main thing. I did have something to address. There was a little comments and requests for me to speak about clove cigarettes. And I am not an expert on clove cigarettes because I am not a goth or a witch. So I am calling in. I do know a goth witch. His name is Mark. And I think he has experience with clove cigarettes. I'm waiting to do a sit down interview with him to dispel all the myths and rumors about clove cigarettes and the mystical powers they provide. We'll talk to Mark about that once I get him in the studio. Until then, I have an actual cigarette review for you. I didn't think I'd actually get to the cigarette review portion of Cigarette News, but here we go. There is a new cigarette. I don't know how new it is. In New York, like I can only buy cigarettes from one store because they sell them under the table, a little cheaper. It's affordable to buy cigarettes from there. Everywhere else, it's like $73 for a pack of cigarettes. And that's not happening. So the store that I buy the cigarettes from, they don't really have the biggest selection. So you don't get these newfangled novelty cigarettes. But I was in New Jersey last weekend, and I was at a real quick check. They have a wide array of cigarettes, and they have the Marlboro NXTs, which are they're Marlboro's answer to the Camel Crush, which is, if you've been a long time Cigarette News listener, you know is my all time favorite cigarette, Camel Crush. So the Marlboro NXT is the answer to that. It's a regular ass plain non-menthol cigarette, and then you crush the little ball in the filter and it turns into a menthol cigarette. It's a cool green and black package. It makes you look like a badass. It's not spelled next. It's spelled NXT, which is also badass. Everybody knows leaving vowels out of things makes it a million times cooler. Check my podcast, Virtual Pros, VRTL Pros, if you need any other assurance that that's true, although we do leave the O in there because you can't do VRTLPRS because that would just be too confusing. So yeah, these Marlboro NXTs, and I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I don't really know how to fucking review a cigarette. I've seen this. There's at least one guy on YouTube that reviews cigarettes, and he does a dry puff where he puffs on the cigarette before lighting it. And judges the cigarette that way, which is, who the fuck does that? Who does that? So I didn't take a dry puff of that cigarette because I don't know what would that prove. It proves nothing. Maybe if it was an artisanal cigarette, maybe you would get some like cinnamon or cardamom from dry puffing it, but no, you can't just dry puff a fucking corporate cigarette like a Marlboro or a Newport and expect anything out of that. But anyway. And you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even try the non-menthol part. I just crushed the little tip before even lighting the cigarette because I don't care about the non-menthol part. I'm sure it's just a nondescript cigarette taste. But the menthol, which is a little more mintier, a little more like kind of like a mint, thin mint type of cookie mint instead of a nice cool cigarette menthol. So, you know, maybe if you have more of a sweet tooth or you're more into cookies or like spearmint, maybe try these Marlboro NXTs, and they have that green and black package, which, like I said, look fucking badass. These get 5 stars, 5 out of 5. All cigarettes get 5 stars. They're cigarettes. They're all fucking great. So, you know, like maybe basic cigarettes are bad. Those are probably pretty bad. Pall Malls are pretty bad. So those would be like 4.5 stars, because that's the lowest you can grade a cigarette. Unless maybe you make your own cigarettes, then those might be bad. I don't know. Those are unregulated cigarettes. But regulated cigarettes, they're always 4.5 to 5 stars. So my main topic for this episode of Cigarette News is I wanted to give you guys a little listicle. That's what I really want to do with Cigarette News, is just provide you guys with listicles, because it's a proven thing that works, and people listen to listicles and they hang on your every word because people are just transfixed with lists and they don't care about lists and reviews and unboxings. And I can't really do an unboxing on a podcast, so you're stuck with lists and reviews. So this listicle is going to be my top 5 favorite cigarette spokespeople or mascots. I'm just going to go with spokespeople, because mascots is lame and you just get Joe Camel. That's not cool. You get the Marlboro Man. Everybody knows the Marlboro Man. Although I found out there's a cool cigarettes back in the olden days, the black and white days, used to have Willie the Smoking Penguin, and it was a smoking penguin, which is pretty cool if you want to look that up. But anyways, these are my five favorite spokespeople of cigarettes. You know, I don't think they run cigarette ads anymore. I think it's illegal. So these are back in the day. These are people you'd see in ads and commercials and stuff. And, you know, they would peddle you the cigarettes and you'd want to buy them. This was some big shit in like the 50s and 60s. It kind of died out later. Now, my number 5, we're starting off 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Number 5 is all of the clean cut active white people that they put in Newport ads forever and ever. These always just stuck out to me because that doesn't happen. You don't see clean cut white people smoking any cigarettes, but you definitely don't see them smoking like cigarettes that you normally buy in Lucy's that are always the cheapest name brand cigarette. But they'd always have these clean cut active white people in their ads, their magazine ads. And they just always stuck out to me because I do suffer from a handicap. I hate to admit it, but I am handicapped. I am colorblind. I'm red-green colorblind. So I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like greens and reds to me look way uglier than they look to a normal non-handicapped person. And that green, that horrible Newport green, and that horrible, horrible 80s orange that they use, it would just always just be a travesty in my brain. And then focusing on all these clean-cut white people, it was just like seared into my brain. And so I guess they're number 5 for negative reasons, where it was just like it's stuck inside of me. And made me think of Newport, but I don't think that was their intention, but it worked. It worked on me at least. Number 4 is a baseball player by the name of Jackie Robinson. You might know him as the baseball player that broke the color barrier in baseball. So I didn't do any research on this. He used to do ads for Chesterfield, and he had a little catchphrase that I already forgot. It's something like, "Hey, take my tip," which is honk honk, if you know what I'm saying. Yeah, take my tip, smoke Chesterfield. Much milder. That is, which is kind of just like a fragmented sentence, which is not a very good slogan. But take my tip is great. They should have just stopped there with take my tip. But yeah, he used to promote Chesterfield cigarettes, and I would assume if he broke the color barrier in baseball, that's probably means he was the first black athlete to promote cigarettes ever. And that was not in the Jackie Robinson movie, and it's kind of a bummer that they left that out, because it would have probably been my movie of the year. And I think that's really interesting. It's way more interesting than a guy playing baseball, that's for sure. A guy doing cigarette ads, that's fucking amazing. So they should have kept that in the movie. I haven't seen the director's cut of the Jackie Robinson movie, which I believe is called 42 or something like that. You know, maybe that's in the director's cut, so maybe I'll buy the DVD. So Jackie Robinson, you're my number 4. Number 3 is an all-time favorite of mine. It is Rod Serling. He was the host of The Twilight Zone. He used to, if you get the Twilight Zone on DVD or Blu-ray, I think they include the commercials. So you'll see like the Rod Serling Chesterfield ads. Again, Chesterfield is for whatever reason, they employed all the celebrities to hawk their cigarettes back in the day. They were kind of like the Wheaties of cigarettes. So they had a lot of celebrity spokespeople. But Rod Serling would do his like Twilight Zone narrative voice and do cut these ads for Chesterfield. And they're really good because Rod Serling has a fucking great voice, and you know, you just want to smoke cigarettes. I've never had a Chesterfield. I think they stopped making those things before I was even alive, or maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they still make them. Who fucking knows? But I wanted to smoke a Chesterfield after watching those. So check out those Rod Serling ads if you haven't. Number two is a great one. Number two is Santa Claus. If you Google Santa cigarette ads, you will get a lot of material. Santa was a hoe for cigarettes. I think because he's a fiction. Spoiler alert, if you're underage, I think it's because Santa Claus was a fictional character and you didn't need to pay him any money, and no one has a copyright on Santa, I don't think, so he just showed up in all the cigarette ads. Pall Mall, Chesterfield again, Lucky Strike. There's another brand called Murad that I never heard of, which has like a cool, awesome packaging, kind of in the style of Camel cigarettes, but a little more colorful. And they used a different kind. They didn't use like the jolly fat ho 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 Santa. They used a man that looked like a dirty pervert for their Santa. And he looks like the most comfortable smoking cigarettes. So yeah, if you Google it, Google Murad cigarette Santa or whatever, and he looks like a real piece of shit. The rest of the Santas for the other, these are drawings. They're not human being Santas. These are like paintings and things. This is back in the day. But all the other Santas for Lucky Strike and Pall Mall and blah, 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 they all look like, you know, the cool Santas that you'd want to get gifts from and sit on their lap and stuff. But this fucking Murad Santa looks like an asshole. So check him out. It's great, though. All the Santa cigarette ads are fucking amazing. Number one, and if you are either a cigarette nerd or an old commercial nerd, you've probably been listening to this whole list going, I know what number one is. I know he's going to say it. And it is, of course, the Flintstones. This is a very infamous ad if you pay attention to commercials, old fucking commercials. I think me and Scott are probably the only people that really deep dive into old commercials. I'm sure there's other weirdos out there, and hopefully you found Border Boss if you're one of those weirdos. But yeah, the Flintstones did a couple ads, commercial ads, which I assume were tacked onto episodes of the Flintstones for Winston cigarettes. And you know what? I'm going to actually play a part of that Flintstones ad right here.
They sure work hard, don't they, honey?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back
where we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking that?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobacco specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Bonnie, Winston tastes good like a cigarette
choice. Okay, so you just heard that. Isn't that some wild shit? Just hearing Fred and Barney talking about just sitting around and puffing on some Winston cigarettes. I wish I lived back then. I would have smoked so many fucking cigarettes. I don't even know how people chose when they had all this star power hawking them cigarettes. Like, who are you going to go for? I unfortunately grew up in a time where, like I said, you just had like Joe Camel and the Marlboro Man and those clean-cut white people from the Newport ads. That's not much to choose from. Back then you had Santa, Willie Mays did ads, other athletes did ads that I can't remember the name of, Santa Claus again, you know, fucking movie stars, everybody was doing ads, fucking cigarettes, fucking Ronald Reagan doing ads for cigarettes, and you just had all these people to choose from, and it would probably take forever to pick your brand. But unfortunately, this day and age, they suppress the cigarette lovers, and we get no famous people standing up for us. Anyways, that was another episode of Cigarette News. If you'd like to express your interest or whatever in carrying cigarette news on your podcast, get a hold of me. If you have any questions or comments, get a hold of me. I'm sure you know how to. I do a couple podcasts called Kissing Contests and Virtual Pros. You can find my emails there. You could also email borderbossaturtle@gmail.com. And all those other places. Find me in the streets. Find me on Twitter. You know what to do. Tell me about how much you love cigarette news. Until next time, bye-bye.
I don't know, man. Cigarette news might be winning me over. Listicles about old advertising gimmicks, that's a golden arrow that always finds its mark with me, and some part of me is now padding my non-existent chest pocket for my non-existent lucky strikes. You know, maybe when 23andMe does that $99 weekend, I'll check and see if I'm part smoker. But meanwhile, Mike just cost me $600,000 by playing an unauthorized Flintstone sample, so now I gotta get my money's worth. So we're gonna keep talking. So I wanna button up my second comeback episode with some actual current content. We're back in the present. The time machine has brought us back to 2017. If you're some kind of night ghoul who doesn't wake up before 2 p.m., you might not have noticed that the rumored naked egg chalupa is out there. It's out there. And it's delicious. It's delicious. There's nothing wrong with eating this just as it's presented on the menu. It's as gross as I predicted in some ways. It's a straight-up greasy egg in your hand. And I don't think the world at large was clamoring to just be told, with no foundation and no experimentation, that fried eggs are now finger food. Nothing really happened between the chicken and this taco to make the egg into a holdable situation. It's still just an oily mass of egg that drips down your hand, even if you attempt to use that cardboard holder, which doesn't really pan out with a floppy, untreated egg. And on top of that, they've done some weird things with the egg itself. Like, I don't know if they maintained, or even worse, simulated the yolk, but when you slide the egg pocket out of its paper shell, it's really biological, like some kind of Phantom of the Opera unmasking, or like when the malfunctioning RoboCop prototype rips off his gleaming metal helmet and there's a screaming bloody skull underneath. Do you still have that guy in your feed from high school and he hasn't grown past his serial killer phase and his shock your parents phase, so he still occasionally attempts to devastate all the 37-year-old organic yoga moms that he's still connected to, who can't be devastated anymore because they're all watching Game of Thrones and shit now anyway. But he tries to shock them by posting those leather-faced looking jackets and wallets that are made to look like stitched up human ears and snouts and lips. That big surprise eyeball of a yolk just pressed into the flatty egg is definitely sold in the same catalog. I would also suggest that Taco Bell is blowing it a little on this one conceptually, because the base item is filled with potatoes, which are delicious, but this is sincerely the ultimate low-carb tactical nuke. This thing is a gift from the heavens to those kind of performance machines who spend their lives bushwhacking in the Amazon for a new breed of cassava that can be used to fake bread without carbs. But then they filled it with potatoes. And then if that wasn't enough, they offer a dressed version, which just means it's in a gordita shell. So now it's just an egg in a gordita shell. The whole structural tortilla-ness of the egg is gone. You're just eating an egg in a gordita. Who cares? But if you have any brains in your head, you already know the power move is going to be to dig into the Live Moss app, swap out those useless sugar people potatoes for steak. Steak is available at breakfast, and for some reason, the breakfast steak is delicious, even though lunch steak is shoe leather. I don't know what the deal is, but that breakfast steak is great. And now your whole goddamn gordita is just a red-hot coal that stokes your body furnace into a lean shark of strutting charisma. And later this year, when your new regime of eating $3.60 modified egg tacos turns your whole body into a mixed cloud of deadlifts and sex positions because no one can keep their hands off you, I'd like you to drop me a line at borderbosseternal@gmail.com, borderbossrip on Twitter and Instagram, especially Instagram, because it's the only place that I think I'm doing social media correctly right now. And when you've become such a throbbing quadricep of potency, and you're suddenly overwhelmed with all the children you're parenting, I'd like to form a mommy Facebook group with you for Taco Bell parenting. I'd like to exchange links for dollar menu strategies to keep the little ones, the LO, little ones, occupied, while your continually egg gordita-fueled abdominal muscles just earn you more and more babies. And then you're going to start needing a godparent, or many godparents, and I'm here for that. I don't know what the rules are for godparenting, but it sounds cool. I want to be the godfather to at least seven of your 14 babies. And you know, these days you can use the same middle name more than once because no one cares. Naming, all bets are off right now. It's all garbage. So little Everett Border Boss Tyler and little Tyler Border Boss Everett, they're not going to care until they're at least like 24 or 25 years old. And who gives a shit? Because by then you'll be dead.